I was sitting at work today, and for some reason, I'll tell you why in a minute.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about a boogie woogie, and I'm going to play one.
I'm Steve Vinson.
I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news. Nothing you're about to hear is true.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Welcome to the show. It's been a minute since we've recorded, so if we sound a little rusty, we'll just go right ahead and apologize to all nine of you. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. It was funny because today William Wright said something about wanting black. I mean, he wanted to be black or he wanted some black. It has something to do with some software he uses. Apparently, he's looking for some black. And it just, I don't know why, but what popped in my head was Gary Oldman pretending to be black. Or at least playing a white dude who thought he was black.
And half Cherokee.
In True Romance. And so for whatever reason, I had to immediately go watch that scene, which is one of the great scenes of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He must have thought it was white boy day. Hey, Marty. Marty, it ain't white boy day, is it?
No, it ain't white boy day.
I know I'm pretty.
When Christian Slater hands him the envelope
yeah.
full of money that's worth his peace of mind and it's fucking empty,
yeah.
it was like, he might as well just put his dick on the table. Thump. It's like.
And I loved, I don't know if it was something that they just improvised or if they thought of it ahead of time, but the whole deal with that lamp. Like every time, like he's using it like a flashlight.
It just he's messing with him.
For some reason, it just seemed like the most natural thing in the world for Gary Oldman to be using that lamp. And like, oh, every thug with his own nightclub ought to be using the lamp like that.
Right. You know? Years ago, I read the screenplay, and I don't recall the lamp being a major player in the movie. So.
It should have gotten an Oscar. Just the lamp. All right. Anyway, so today it's toward the end of April as we record this, which means Easter just happened. I rolled into town and rolled back out of town so fast I didn't even have time to come see you. But I was.
I saw that, but that's okay.
Yeah, I was within stone's throwing distance to your parents' house because for Easter we went to the Harvest Time Church of God over there on Highway 20 across from Eastside Produce.
Oh, yeah. Hell, you were like a quarter mile down the road.
Yes. And the interesting thing about that is we currently have a French exchange student staying with us.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be gone by the time this comes out. So if any of you stalkers out there, any of you crazy people finding out about kids and wanting to do some crazy shit, too bad. She's gone. She's back in France. You're going to have to get your passport renewed. And I know with that felony, they're not renewing your passport anytime soon. And even if you don't have a felony, you all have back taxes. And they're not renewing passports for people with back taxes now. I know that because I have back taxes. And I got a letter in the mail saying they're not renewing my passport. So this kid is out of reach for you. Okay, weirdo.
The more you know.
How much of that speech I just gave makes me the weirdo? Probably 98% of it.
It would only be better if you had the lamp.
Yeah, and making the noise like, shh. All right, so anyway, she's in town, and, you know, I'm seeing, of course, on Facebook, all the other families with their French kids. They're going off doing rich people stuff because it must be rich people day, right? They're like, oh, here we are at this nice restaurant in Indianapolis. Here we are in Chicago at the top of the Sears Tower. How fun is that? Showing it. I'm like, I've got the ultimate cultural experience that I'll bet none of y'all are doing with your French kid. And that is a good country, down home, Pentecostal, altar call Easter service that she will grow up, and when she's in her like 30s talking to people about her cultural experiences, they'll bring up like evangelical church or something, and she'll be like, you know, she'll say it in a French accent or maybe even in French, but she'll be like, you know, I've been to a Pentecostal. She'll be like, how many of you have been to an evangelical church where they jump up and down singing, dancing at church? And they'll be like, not me. When did you go? When I was an exchange student in Indiana, USA. And they'll be like, oh, that makes sense. And then all of her friends will be like, I was on that exchange too. I don't remember going to any dancing around, speaking in tongues church. And they'll be like, well, she'll be like, I guess you are off doing rich people things.
Marty, is it rich people day? Every day is rich people day.
But it was interesting because we talked about it before we went. We're like, yeah, we're going to my parents, right? Yeah. Now my mom's going to want to go to church. Do you think that's going to be all right for the French kid? I was like, it'll be a cultural experience, the likes of which she will rarely get the opportunity to have, you know?
Yeah, how often?
So I looked over at one point during the service, and it's one of those churches, they don't really speak in tongues at this one, at least not that I've seen. But it's one of those where they put the Bible verses up on a projector.
Mm-hmm. That's a new thing now. I guess they do that a lot.
Okay. So they were doing that, and they also put the words to the songs, because it's not. My dad, I was sitting next to my dad, and he kept leaning over like, I don't really like the music. He's like, I want some of those, you know, old-timey. Some of them old-timey songs is what I want. You know, the old shaky cross.
Some of that old brother shit.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So they're playing, you know, whatever contemporary stuff that they do these days.
Yeah.
But they put all the words up on the PowerPoint, right? So I look over and there's this little French kid sitting there singing along with all the music. And I'm like, that's right. She's experiencing things.
Yeah.
She is immersing herself in the culture. And then they did the altar call, and I half expected her to get up and go to the front to get saved.
They take her out to the creek out back, you know.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way. So anyway, that was my Easter. Oh, and I also convinced my dad to get his picture taken with the Easter Bunny.
That's one of the best pictures ever.
We saw the Easter Bunny. I'm like, saying to the kids, get your picture with the Easter Bunny. And they wouldn't go over there. And finally, I just looked at my dad. I was like, Daddy, go get your picture with the Easter Bunny. He's like, all right. So he just went over there.
Like, whatever. This is the craziest thing you ever asked me to do.
That's true. I have a picture of him in a dress that he, like, when I first knew, when my nieces were really little, his first grandkids, and I ran across a picture of him in a dress. I'm like, what is this? He's like, well, that's just what happens when you have grandkids. I was like, is that what happens? That's weird. I never knew that's what happened.
Marty, is it Grandparents' Day? No, man. Grandparents' Day.
Is it Transgender Grandparents' Day? No, man. It ain't Transgender Grandparents' Day. So, how was your Easter?
Not quite that exciting. We had a pretty good Easter brunch, though, at my parents' house. My sister and I got lit on mimosas. Because how else are you going to survive a family reunion?
Right. Your sister, Sue Ann or Carolyn?
Sue Ann, yeah.
Yeah, I think she might be a listener, sometimes listener. So shout out to Sue Ann. Save me a mimosa. Did you guys have vegetable pizza at all? Or
oddly enough, no. That was like the one thing. It didn't seem right.
Where's the vegetable pizza? Where's the green bean casserole?
I almost did make the green bean casserole, but there was so much food on the list to make. And I'm like, are we having brunch or like Thanksgiving? Well, it's not Thanksgiving because there's no vegetable pizza.
We open in a soup kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead and start the show. Maybe I'll mention this again at the end of the show, but just to just so I don't forget, I did want to mention we're on, I don't know, what is this, 195 or 194? Anyway, episode 200, we're going to have a big announcement. It's been about the future of our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure if you only listen every once in a while, make sure you check out episode 200.
Well, it would be this episode and episode 200 you want to check out. Otherwise, you wouldn't know to check out episode 200.
Somehow, if you're not checking this episode out, then go ahead and check it out because we make an announcement about episode 200. No, we don't. we tell you that episode 200 will have an announcement. So if you haven't listened to today's show, make sure you listen to it.
And then we disappear in a cloud of logic.
The other thing about today is, well, it's kind of a nerdy show because Paul's going to review a movie. And then we're also going to tell you about a trip Paul's taken this weekend over to a convention. And then we'll tell you about another movie Paul's going to see that he'll review at a future episode.
That's right.
So first of all, the movie you saw, remind me again what the movie was?
The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot.
All right. Well, you set it up and then just go ahead and jump right into your review.
All right. Well, we'll roll tape, as they say.
How have you been? You look a little tired. What's bothering you?
Things I could have done differently. Regrets. I shot someone during the war. I never wanted that. Even if he had it coming. And he did. It's the Bigfoot, Ed. They want me to kill it.
Well, that's no good.
The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot. Starring Sam Elliott's mustache, Hitler, and, of course, the Bigfoot. Written and directed by Robert Krakowski. Now, I don't have the facts to back this up, but I'm betting the title of this movie came from a night of Krakowski drinking with his buddies, and someone said, "Hey, you know what would be a kick-ass idea for a movie?" Hell, that's pretty much standard operating procedure here at the Don't Panic Radio Show. You might think, with a title like that, the only way to properly watch this movie is with a cigar, some bourbon, and a medium rare steak. And from the opening scene of Sam Elliott sitting in a bar, taking a good, hard look at himself in the mirror, with Billy Squire's Lonely as the Night blaring from the jukebox in the background, you might want to make that bourbon a double. The year is 1981. At least that's when Lonely as the Night came out, and would have been on jukeboxes. Sam Elliott is the greatest war hero no one has ever heard of. His whole life, he's done everything ever asked of him, including killing Hitler. At least one of them, anyway. But the cost of his lifelong obedience is everything. And just when he's decided he's had enough, that he's done, you guessed it, he has to kill the Bigfoot. Turns out Bigfoot's roaming the Canadian wilderness, carrying a deadly virus, and the Canadian and United States government hire him to go in and kill the Bigfoot. Now, it sounds like an action-ridden thrill ride, doesn't it? Well, it ain't. But being as this is the director's first full-length movie, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. But what you got is just a slow train to nowhere, peppered with only a few minutes of the man killing Hitler and the Bigfoot. The movie's loaded with flashbacks that pretty much just explain why Sam Elliott's character does what he does in the present day, offering no unique insights or anything below surface level. And if you think Sam Elliott looks sad in this movie, wait till you see the Bigfoot. My buddy D used to have a rating system for movies. There was kick-ass, fucking kick-ass, and fucking kick-ass big time. The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot fails to even kick a single ass. Which is sad because I really wanted to like this movie. Now, you want to watch a better movie about Sam Elliott moping around, thinking about his life and how he's wasted it? Watch Hero. It's got a better story. It's got Nick Offerman. It's got Elliott in the sack with Laura Prippen, who I wouldn't have given a plug nickel for until she dyed her hair black, until I found out she was a Scientologist. So there goes that fantasy. And even though Hero has all those things on The Man Who Killed the Hitler and then the Bigfoot, it lacks one thing. The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot.
All right, so zero thumbs up, I guess.
fails to kick even one ass.
I thought, didn't Sam Elliott's mustache get an Oscar for that one?
Well, he got nominated. He did, you know, and it's just, it's an honor just to get nominated.
That's true. So which war was he a hero in? Vietnam, I guess.
Well, he did kill Hitler, so.
Oh.
Yeah, one of them.
So Hitler's not in this movie except in flashback form.
Right.
All right. Well, okay. So that one was a bust. Your next movie you're going to go see will probably be better, I'm guessing, right?
If it ain't, somebody's got some explaining to do.
Lucy! So what is the next movie you're going to go see?
On Friday, we are going to go see Avengers Endgame, the culmination of 10 years of Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So it's supposed to be good.
Yep, that's what they say.
It all comes together, all the different plot lines and story arcs and everything culminate. Mm-hmm. Several cities probably get destroyed. Hundreds of thousands of people die, probably.
Probably.
Trillions of dollars in economic damage. But that's probably not the central theme of the show, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we don't know what to expect. We found out the trailers that everyone has seen are pretty much a lie. I don't know if you're aware of this, but when like the superhero movies have like a monstrous amount of speculation videos made about them, they will start as soon as a teaser trailer comes out. These guys will start doing speculative, you know, narration on the teaser trailer.
Yeah, they pick it apart scene by scene, like frame by frame.
Yeah, so to avoid any spoilers, they have an entire production company to make bogus trailers. When I review it, which will be in the next episode, it will be fraught full of spoilers, but it'll have been out for like 2 weeks, so you people have been warned.
Go see it. Who's in this one?
All of them.
Samuel Jackson in this one?
Hell yeah, he's in this one.
Obviously, everybody knows this and hates me for it. I'm one of the few people apparently in the Dope Panic radio show circle who hasn't seen. I mean, I've watched a few of them, but I haven't followed them.
Well, when you only see two movies a year.
Right.
You would have to make both of those Marvel movies because they put out like two a year.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. I suppose it's going to be spoiled for me because I'm not going to go see it.
You can, like, not listen while I talk.
The other thing that's supposedly happening soon, I guess this year, is the final episode of Star Wars.
At least the Skywalker saga, yeah, before they move into whatever the other stuff is going to be.
Sure, the original, like, 9-episode arc is coming to an end.
Sure.
And if somebody were to be like, oh, what's the overarching, like, what's the broad thing, I'd be able to tell them because I've seen all the movies.
Yeah.
And I have some idea, and I could do it without spoiling anything. Yeah,
well, you could just tell them that it would be, it's essentially every single movie is the same movie, just done over again.
There's some big weapon that one side is trying to stop, and eventually they stop it. And then another even bigger weapon is built. Some people have magical powers. They use them. Yeah, that's about it.
You described every Star Wars movie.
All right, so we'll look forward to that. And you're going to a show this weekend in Columbus, Ohio.
That's correct.
Called Space.
The Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those acronyms. They came up with the acronym first.
Yeah, it's just a great small press comic convention. We haven't been there in a couple years, and a lot of us are trying to get back into the scene a little bit. And it used to be, Space used to happen at the beginning of the year, and it was like everybody's like little recharge before the whole year, you know? And we always did really good at Space, and then we'd do all the other big shows, and we would do miserable at them because nobody cares about comics at comic conventions. So Space became like our hub. Everything kind of seemed to fall into place, and a bunch of us are going to, I'm going to be there. Officer Nick's going to be there. There's going to be a bunch of people there.
That's awesome. Have a good time.
I'll have a review of it as well.
Change the channel, Marge.
For those of you that don't know, you may have seen it on Facebook. Basil used up all of his lives and finally ran out of time. And he did not recover from the latest Basil the Wonder Dog ailment. And so we had to take him in and put him to sleep. So no more Basil. Poor guy. And then we did that the day that the French exchange student got here, which means it's one of those things where nobody's really had a chance to process it. What I mean? Mm-hmm. We told the kids, you know, don't mope around. Don't cry a bunch with the French kid here because she'll think you're crying because she's here. So we don't want to bum her out. And it's one of those watershed moments, though, because, you know, the kids are going from being kids to being, you know, older kids or mm-hmm. young adults or whatever you want to call it. And mm-hmm. I mean, this is just one of those times. It's, you know, toward the end of World War One, I think it was August 1917. I want to say it was right around then. Churchill called it the crowded hour. I think it was Churchill that said, like, there are decades when nothing happens. And then there are months when decades happen. And, you know, like Germany decides to declare all out submarine warfare. And then Britain discovers a cable that Germany had sent to Mexico asking them to declare war on the United States and invade. Germany promises to help and give them Texas and California and Arizona back if they win. And United States declares war on Germany and the, you know, the other Entente powers. Russia, the Tsar falls in a coup. Mm-hmm. Like all this stuff happens like in a matter of months, right? Mm-hmm. There was World War One before that. There's World War One after that, right? Everything changes. That's what this time in my life is right now, and in my kids' life, in my wife's life, you know. Mm-hmm. Like there's all this stuff happening, and we look at each other sometimes and we go, how is all this stuff happening like now, all at the same time? And how are we still standing? Mm-hmm. How come we haven't just fallen apart in a nervous breakdown? It's like, I don't know, just one foot in front of the other, I guess.
That's right.
So, yeah, so Basil died. French kid comes, which is requiring a really rapid maturity of my youngest. Mm. You know, she's the host. And so there's just all of this like responsibility, and it's really kind of weighing on her. And you can tell that she's really like, you know, it's just exhausting. Mm-hmm. We've got this trial happening. There's before the trial and after the trial. It's like 9/11, right? It's like pre-9/11, post-9/11. We'll probably dedicate an entire show to the trial at some point.
The one episode will be about the trial. Another episode will be about the Shazak. We've been promising the Shazak story.
Oh, that's right. We're going to bring Shazak back.
Marty, is it Shazak Day?
No, man, it ain't Shazak Day. I thought you were going to say one episode will be about the trial. Another episode will be about the bender I have after the trial. Another episode will be about the epic hangover.
The bender will be a live episode. That's right. Me and Uncle Carl are coming down there as soon as that shit's over.
So that's Basil died. We're all sad. If you've never seen a grown man cry, just get me talking about Basil and you'll see me cry. All right. For Basil the Wonder Dog, for Sam Elliott's mustache, and for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you just heard was true. That's what we keep inside our minds. That's what we keep inside our minds.
Sometimes, Mouse, you think you know people, and then you don't. Then you wonder, have I met them before? But it doesn't matter. You're just information. That's what we keep inside our heads.